Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Way of the Superior Man, A Spiritual Guide to Mastering the Challenges of Women, Work, and Sexual Desire, is a men's self-development and spiritual guidance book by David Deida. First published in the late 1990s and later expanded in a 20th anniversary edition, it combines relationship advice, sexual philosophy, and reflections on purpose and masculine identity. The book is aimed primarily at men, though its ideas are often read more broadly by anyone interested in polarity, intimacy, and personal direction. Deida's central claim is that a man becomes more fulfilled by organizing his life around his deepest purpose rather than comfort, approval, or social convention. From there, he connects work, love, and sexuality into one framework of embodied presence. The result is a book that is part relationship manual, part spiritual text, and part provocation, with a style that is deliberately direct and polarizing. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, purpose as the organizing center of masculine identity. One of the book's most important ideas is that a man should build his life around purpose before anything else. Deida treats purpose not as a career target or productivity goal, but as a deeper mission that gives direction to a man's energy, choices, and relationships. This framing matters because it shifts the question from how to be successful to what is worth serving. In the book, a man who lacks purpose becomes dependent on external validation, easily distracted by comfort, and less capable of stable presence in love and work. By contrast, a man aligned with purpose is described as more coherent, trustworthy, and internally grounded. The practical implication is that relationships are not meant to replace mission, but to support a man who already knows what he stands for. This is one reason the book can feel demanding. It places responsibility on the reader to clarify priorities rather than seek reassurance. Whether readers agree with Deida's conclusions or not, this focus on purpose is the book's structural center. Secondly, masculine and feminine polarity as the basis of attraction. A defining framework in the book is the idea of polarity between masculine and feminine energies. Deida argues that attraction and aliveness in relationships often depend on difference, not sameness, and that these energetic differences should be recognized rather than flattened. He presents masculinity as associated with direction, steadiness, and penetration of focus, while femininity is associated with flow, feeling, and relational openness. The point is not simply gender roles in a social sense, but an energetic model of how intimacy works. In this view, a relationship loses charge when both partners move too far toward the same mode, especially when masculine and feminine distinctions are diluted. Deida extends this idea beyond sex into daily interaction, suggesting that tension, play, and emotional responsiveness all arise from polarity. The concept is influential because it gives readers a simple language for describing why attraction changes over time. At the same time, it is controversial because it can seem to reduce complex people to fixed categories and can be read as essentialist. That tension is central to the book's reception. Thirdly, sexual energy as something to circulate rather than discharge automatically, the book gives unusual emphasis to sexual energy and how it is handled in intimate life. Deida draws on tantric and other spiritual traditions to argue that sexuality is not only about release, but also about awareness, circulation, and transformation. A recurring theme is the distinction between orgasm and mechanical discharge, with a suggestion that a man can learn to stay relaxed, breathe deeply, and remain present without collapsing into automatic ejaculation. This is presented as a way to preserve vitality and channel sexual force into creativity, presence, and spiritual depth. The practical advice around breath, body relaxation, and staying open in the front of the body gives the book a bodily rather than purely psychological dimension. What makes this section distinctive is that it treats sexual practice as a discipline of consciousness, not just a private act. For readers open to tantric thinking, this is one of the book's most memorable contributions. For critics, it can sound prescriptive or overly mystical, but it is clearly one of the book's core mechanisms for linking desire to self-mastery. Fourthly, relationship conflict as a test of steadiness and presence. Deida repeatedly frames relational tension as a situation in which a man reveals whether he can remain centered under pressure. In his model, women may challenge, test, or destabilize a man not simply to provoke conflict, but to discover whether he is anchored in purpose and able to stay present without becoming defensive or needy. The underlying lesson is that emotional pressure should not pull a man away from his mission or his grounded awareness. Instead of reacting with collapse, domination, or avoidance, he is encouraged to respond with calm strength, honesty, and openness. This approach makes the book more than a theory of attraction. It becomes a manual for composure in intimate conflict. At its best, The idea helps readers think about emotional regulation, accountability, and the difference between leadership and control. At its worst, it can sound like it turns normal relational disagreement into a one-sided evaluation of male competence. That ambiguity is important. The book is influential precisely because it offers a strong model of steadiness, but it is also criticized because it can overread everyday conflict through a gendered lens. Lastly, a provocative style that mixes spiritual teaching with gender controversy, The Way of the Superior Man stands out not only for its ideas, but for the way those ideas are delivered. Dida writes in a direct, confrontational style that invites self-examination and also resists nuance. The book blends spiritual language, sexual philosophy, and practical advice in a format that is easy to quote but difficult to interpret safely without context. That is part of why it has had lasting influence in men's development, entrepreneurship, and relationship circles. Readers often praise it for naming issues that more cautious self-help books avoid: purpose, polarity, desire, and the need for embodied presence. But the same qualities make it controversial. Critics argue that its masculine and feminine framework can flatten individual differences, reinforce stereotypes, and treat gender dynamics too rigidly. This tension is not incidental. It is part of the book's identity. Unlike more neutral relationship books, it is designed to challenge, polarize, and provoke commitment to a worldview. That makes it memorable and influential, but also a text that readers usually need to approach critically rather than literally. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a direct, spiritually framed discussion of masculinity, purpose, sexuality, and intimate relationships. Men seeking direction, especially those reflecting on work, desire, and relationship patterns, are the primary audience. But women and couples may also find it useful as a window into Dida's model of masculine-feminine polarity. Its practical value lies in how it links inner clarity to behavior. It asks readers to examine whether they are living from mission, whether they remain present under emotional pressure, and whether their sexual energy is being used consciously or passively. Intellectually, it stands out because it does not treat relationships as merely emotional or behavioral problems. It treats them as expressions of energy, purpose, and spiritual orientation. Compared with ordinary dating or self-help books, it is more philosophical, more bodily, and more polarizing. Compared with modern relationship advice, it is less interested in compromise and more interested in embodied difference. That makes it especially influential, but also best read with discernment rather than as a universal rulebook. If you would like to support David Dida, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.